The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My next guest's new book recently won the Financial Times Business Book of the Year Award, with his book being cited as the most compelling and enjoyable by the judges. Chris Miller is the Assistant Professor of International History at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. His new book is called Chip War: The Fight for the World's Most Critical Technology. Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to talk to you. It's amazing that we've ended up here. And I suppose when you look at the crisis and the fight in Ukraine, it is very stark that we are dependent on this technology, because when Russia couldn't access it, they had to start harvesting it out of washing machines.
Well, that's right. All of the world's militaries today depend fundamentally on chips for their weapon systems, whether it's chips to guide missiles towards their targets, or chips in satellites that are sending intelligence about action on the battlefield. And today, Russia can't produce any of the most advanced chips, and so it's reliant on smuggling them in from the West.
Where are these chips traditionally made? The United States effectively kick-started this industry, but it kind of got beyond them.
That's right. The first chips were invented in Silicon Valley, and today California remains the epicenter of chip design, but most chips are actually manufactured now in East Asia, in Japan, in South Korea, and above all in Taiwan, where one single company, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, produces 90% of the world's most advanced processor chips. So the chips in your smartphone or in your PC, many of them can only be manufactured in Taiwan.
Wars are lost over the strangest things. One would think that Russia would have tried to at least emulate the success of the United States, or at least do a deal with some other country there to get them on board. But how come China and Russia aren't in this space and somehow leave themselves a little exposed?
Well, China in particular is trying to catch up. It's been pouring tens of billions of dollars a year into an effort to domesticate chip making technology. But the reality is that the machinery needed to manufacture chips is the most complex humans have ever made. If you take an advanced chip like one in a new iPhone, it'll have 15 billion tiny transistors, each one the size of a coronavirus. And so manufacturing chips with this level of precision by the millions and billions is no easy task. And the machinery needed to produce these chips is controlled just...
Oh, we may just have lost the line to Chris there. Sorry, Chris, we lost you there slightly. I'll let you finish that point if you can.
Hello.
Yep, sorry, we just had a breakup on the line. I don't know if you can still hear us. Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah,
lovely. Apologies for that. So talk about how this was a very much a male-dominated sector and the challenges that threw up in its own right.
Well, that's right. The earliest chip companies were founded almost exclusively by men. And the initial assembly lines actually were largely worked by women, first in California and then in Southeast Asia, where chip firms turned to find cheap assembly labor. And that's why actually Asia began to play a larger and larger role in the industry, because it moved from assembly of chips, which is a pretty low value part of the industry, to today, where firms in Asia like Taiwan and South Korea play an absolutely critical role and have some of the most advanced technology.
When we look at the history of the chip, I'm looking at all the devices that are in front of me here. My mind boggles at how many chips are currently being used. But if I look at the little iPhone in front of me here, that is being run on numerous chips. I think Qualcomm have something to do with a lot of it. But Intel, they missed out.
Well, that's right. Intel used to be the world's biggest chip maker, and for a long time it was almost impossible to buy a PC without an Intel chip inside. But Intel missed the development of smartphones, then missed the shift towards designing chips for artificial intelligence. And so they've fallen behind in recent years. And today they can't produce the most advanced processor chips. They're far behind Taiwan's TSMC in that regard.
So what happens then if Taiwan stops producing chips or Taiwan is inhibited? Does this make them a bit of a target for enemy states if the West is so reliant on Taiwanese chips and the world is so reliant on Taiwanese chips? If you were a nefarious actor, and let's face it, there's a few in that part of the world, you'd kind of just cut them off at the knees.
Well, I think that's a risk. It would be a horrific economic disaster if the world were to lose access to Taiwan's chips. Taiwan produces over one-third of the computing power the world adds each year. Chips for iPhones, chips for PCs, chips for data centers, but also all sorts of goods that we don't think of as requiring computing power, like dishwashers or microwaves or automobiles. So if Taiwan were to stop exporting chips, the world's manufacturing output would collapse. It'd be the worst crisis the world has seen since the Great Depression of 1929. And that does pose a risk. Now, the flip side of that is that China is just as dependent on Taiwan's chips as the rest of the world. And indeed, China spends more money importing chips each year as it spends importing oil. And many of those chips are from Taiwan.
It's fascinating to think that we are so reliant on something that we can't see and just take for granted. Russia is a prime example of the risk when you can't get access to them anymore and the threat it poses to all of our economic well-being. The book is called Chip War, The Fight for the World's Most Critical Technology. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Chris Miller, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.